Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 4. Riches profit not in a day of wrath, but the righteous delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect man shall direct his path, and the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. In days and evil days, righteousness will direct your path. Somebody say, today is a day when our relationship with God should direct our steps. And wickedness is thought without God in it. The righteousness of a perfect man will direct his way, but the wicked shall fall in his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver him, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dies, his expectation shall perish. The hope of the unjust men perish. The righteous is delivered out of what? And the wicked does what? What happens to the righteous? He's delivered out of all his trouble, but who else goes there? Everybody say, it's time for somebody to take my place. Say, the righteous is delivered out of all his trouble. And I tell you what, the wicked cometh in his stead. Why don't you get to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. God was sharing with some things with me years ago. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 22. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Some of the money of people that don't follow after God, don't follow after the move of the Spirit, it has been saved up for the just. A lot of people put money in the bank, think they're saving it for retirement. Doesn't matter where you store it at. Somebody say, it belongs to me. There is recompensation, and you know, there's something that's recompensed in the earth. And there's something called a supernatural switch. Before Jesus comes, I tell you what, everything's going to be turned upside down. Listen, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. All the things that everybody else tried to do, listen, everybody's been rolling in the flesh, doing all these things in the flesh, they just storing it up for the righteous. Everybody say, switch. This might sound crazy to you. At first hearing of these things, I'm going to be showing you several different scriptures, amen, telling you about there's a switch coming, amen. Wickedness shall not always prevail. There comes a day when God said, that's enough, let's let faith take control. Now listen, it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner, somebody say sinner, all men are under sin. Sin doesn't just mean what people are doing. Sin just means anybody that knows Jesus. We're all born in sin until Jesus comes. Jesus came and his blood washed us away from all of our sin. And when we follow the Holy Ghost, he puts us on the perfect path. And for our life, he tells us what to do, and we follow his direction. Then we come out of sin, right? Amen. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just.
Hallelujah.
Say switch.
Switch.
Listen, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall do what? What's that say? What's going to happen to the house of the wicked? And then the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Rejoice about that. There is going to be a switch in some of these things. I believe that's really what's happening in this season. And I believe Jesus is about to come back. And before he comes back, there's got to be a great harvest.
Amen.
And I tell you what, I'm a pastor, and I know that harvest takes a lot of resource. We need a lot of resource to get a job done fast.
Amen.
And I believe that God's going to take back all of his money so we can get his harvest in with it.
Hallelujah.
Now go on to Proverbs chapter 21, verse 18. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. Some say the wicked's day is numbered, and I believe his day is up. See, you got to know what to look for. You're going to put your faith together so you know how to operate and how to flow, so you're able to take advantage of what's going on. Glory to God. There are many scriptures that talk about this great switch, which is supposed to take place, but we're not going to be able to get in position unless we get our ear to God. Amen. And start walking in sync with the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Now is the time to be listening for witty invention. Amen. Now is the time to be out there doing whatever God wants you to do. Just because the stock market goes crazy doesn't mean the money goes away. The money didn't disappear. So then money's not disappearing. We don't have any less money in America today than we did yesterday. It just shifting. Somebody say shift. There's a change of focus. Money represents authority. Write that down. Money represents authority and control. Whoever's got the most money's got the most control. Whether you like it or not, it's the truth. Then why is money authority? Because money represents the work of people's hands. What people do and what people invest. When you go to the grocery store, a piece of paper doesn't mean anything. But when you give them a $20 bill, they say, give me these green beans and these potatoes or whatever I'm going to buy right now because I deserve them. And they say, why do you deserve them? He says, I got this authority in my hand. To you, this looks like a green piece of paper, but to somebody else, this represents blood, sweat, and tears. Amen. And 40 hours of work. Money represents authority. And I believe that this is the day and this is the hour when the church is coming into authority. Trouble should not last always. And God is not coming back for a beat up, scuffed up, messed up church. He's coming back for a bride without spot nor what? Wrinkle. And if our people would just get in position with God and keep a positive confession and not change our confession by what we see on the outside, but by what we hear in the Word, by what we see in the Word, amen, we'll be able to be in sync with what God wants. But if you get your faith and your confidence and all the things going out there, you'll be in everybody else's stuff. You're not a part of that number.
Amen.
Say, we're separated. You're covered in the blood. And when you're covered in the blood, everything you own is covered in the blood. Everything that belongs to you is covered in the blood. Amen. The devil should not be able to touch you or anything concerning you, but he will touch it if you don't stand in faith. If you don't stand in faith, he'll get in all your stuff and mess everything up. And we as a part say, well, it's going to be 3 or 4 years of war. Or how many years of war are going to be there? That means we're all going to go through some stuff. Some say, I'm going to be right in sync. What God said. And right on time. It doesn't have to be your game. That could be the world's game. Amen. But you could expect to be blessed. Somebody say, the switch. Say it one more time, the switch.
Switch.
Say it one more time, the switch.
Switch.
I'm ready. Say, I'm ready to take over. Glory to God. Say, I declare war on the devil. Hallelujah. We're ready to take over. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. Well, when we stay in the Spirit of God, amen, when we stay under the anointing of God, we win. And God wants us to win. There were several instances in the Bible where people just fought against each other and destroyed each other. And after the battle was over, the righteous had the spoils. There were several armies out there. You know, they started to fight against each other and do all that other stuff. Let me tell you what. There's going to be a whole lot of fighting going and all this other stuff going on. You stay focused and you keep your mind on Jesus.
Amen.
Go to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. We're going to have a healing service tonight for all these ears. Joel chapter 2. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it draweth, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess. A day of clouds and thick darkness as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap, like a noise of a flame of fire that devoureth up the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war, and they shall march every one on his side, and they shall not break rank. Neither shall one of them thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they have fallen upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the walls. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the window like a thief. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong and executeth his word. The day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide in it? Someone say, who can abide? Say it one more time. Who can abide? Now see, the day of the Lord for some people is a dark day. Some people dread the day of the Lord. And some of us shout when we start talking about God's coming. And I believe that this day, somebody say this day, is a season. And I believe that this season that we're entering into in this world is the day of the Lord. Amen. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth it if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him? Even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Things can get real crazy. You don't need 52 bombs. All you need is one. All you need is one nut and one bomb to end it for everybody. Now, if people are crazy enough to crash a plane into a building and die, they're going to be crazy enough to push a button. It's not how many guns you got, it's who's got the biggest bomb. And who does it first? It's the truth. And it could be doomsday for a lot of people. Now, you can't talk to crazy people. And some people that appear to be sane are nuts. Amen. I don't put my trust in any of them. I put my trust in the Lord my God. And now is the time. I tell you what, when rumors of war come and it looks like doomsday is just around the corner, one little button could close it out for everybody, no matter where you live. I don't care how many flags you're flying. How many times we sing, oh, God bless America. God bless us, amen, but we got to do whatever it takes to get God's blessing.
Amen.
We got to repent and walk in his ways and walk in righteousness that we might be able to have his blessing. We're going to do everything that brings on a curse, then ask God to bless us. Somebody say, repent. That's where the blessing is. You don't stay where you are. And I believe we have to take this word right now and do what the Holy Ghost is telling us to do in this hour. There's a rough situation going on right now. Many lives are at stake, whether we realize it or not. This is the day of the Lord. God is ultimately in control. And what we need to do is we need to repent. Somebody say repent. And turn. It says right here, look. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentant of evil. And who knoweth if he will turn and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, and sanctify a fast, a solemn assembly. And gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, and let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Time for the bride to come out of the closet. You know who the bride is, don't you? The bride is the church. In the evil day. In a great and terrible day, we can repent and God will turn. He'll prolong the days. Yeah, he said he would prolong the day so that we could get this harvest in. He could have already come and doomsday could already have happened. But God can prolong the days. But we don't want tomorrow to be the end, do we? No, we want to fight on just a little bit longer and get our assignment accomplished. And if we're going to get our assignment accomplished, it's time for us to repent. Because God knows a people that won't repent can't do anything. The only way that God will prolong the days is if he sees hope and confidence that his bride's going to be able to get something done. Amen. But it's time for the church. See, I can't think of nobody else's sin. I got to look at myself, and so do you. Everybody can look at everybody else and tell all these other things, but when Jesus comes, the only person I got to give an account, no, you don't got to speak for nobody else other than yourself. I've got to give an account for myself. For every man must stand before God. And if we want God to prolong the days, because God is ultimately in control, we must fall on our face and pray with fasting and prayer and say, God, there'll be a change. Better wake up and smell the coffee. These are the last and evil days. Who do you think you are? What do you think you have? Pride goeth before a great fall. That's what the Bible says. God will show you who's in control and who's the boss. God does not save by the hand of many men. God saves by his word. And it's time for us to repent. And to call on Jesus with all of our heart. It's time for the church to get right and change and turn our wicked ways and change a little bit of direction. Amen. Someone say switch. And if we repent, that switch would happen. Who knows if he will repent and change his mind? Who has the mind of God? Well, someone says, I know what God, all the prophets are saying something different. Turn on radio. All the prophets are saying something different, so-called prophets. Everybody's saying something weird. Everybody's saying something different. Who knows what's going on? God is ready to move. It's not God's will that any would perish, but that all men would come to the knowledge of God and be saved. Amen. These are evil and wicked days. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sanctify a fast and call them a solemn and gather the people and sanctify the congregation, the elders, and sanctify the assemble the elders and gather the children and those that suck the breast and let the bridegroom go forth out of the chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep before the porch of the altar and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Then the Lord will be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, Behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and you shall be satisfied. Therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. Somebody say switch. See, ungodliness seems to prevail in our nation. Drug dealers got all the money. Amen. You do evil, you do wrong, you make the most money. And they talk about Christians. Christians supposed to be broke and poor and disgusted. Everybody's got something but the church. Everybody's supposed to profit but the church and the believer. But it's not God's will that that would happen. Amen. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and I will drive them into a barren and desolate, and his face toward the sea, and his hinder part toward the uttermost sea, and his stink shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice. That's what God's trying to get us to do. Everybody wants us to act afraid and scared. But fear not, O land, and be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. And the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then. And glad how many times? Twice. Ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will come the cause to come down for you the latter rain and the former rain, and the latter rain and the former rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. Ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. And it shall come to pass afterward. Somebody say afterward. Afterward. Circle that word afterward. After what? After verse 27. After verse 27. Verse 27, so, and you shall know. Somebody say know. That I am in the midst of Israel. When you know that God is in the midst of you, righteousness, a revelation of righteousness. Somebody say that God is there. God is in control. You're not by yourself. After you get the revelation that we're not in this thing by ourselves, that God is with us, that God is for us, God is in here. When you know that God is on the inside, you'll be able to manifest him on the outside. Verse 27 talks about knowing that God is in the midst of Israel, that God is on the inside of us. But we want to display God manifest. We want to manifest God outside, but we're not able to manifest God outside until we know he's inside. Some say the problem is whether we know whether God is inside or not. And I believe that's the same thing for Nations Church. I believe it's the same thing for your family. I believe it's the same thing for your business. We want God to show up on the outside, to manifest on the outside. God will not manifest on the outside until you know that he's on the inside. When you know God is in what you're doing, then he'll show up. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall not be ashamed. God is with us. We can't expect God to show up in the woodlands for us as a church. We can't expect God to show up in your business. We can't expect God to show up anywhere when you don't know that he's already on the inside. God is here. Somebody say, God is in here. God is in the midst of it. Amen. When you get a revelation of God being in you, he'll start showing up around you. Listen, after they got a revelation that God was with us, they got the revelation at the second chapter of Acts, correct? that God was real. But listen, they weren't able to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost until they were able to receive that Jesus walked among them. Jesus walked with them and fellowshipped and talked with them, and they had that revelation. And they said, listen, Jesus was with us. God was with us. Jesus. His name shall be called Emmanuel. God what? With us. And when they got a revelation that God was with them, they got what? After Jesus on the inside. Somebody say amen. Somebody say Jesus on the inside. Holy Ghost manifesting on the outside. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all what? Flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days I will pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So say before the final day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now that's a pretty rough passage of scripture, isn't it? What do we need to do? We need to repent. See, the day of the Lord is coming, but you can push it back. Do you know that? He will prolong the days so we can get done what we need to get done. Said God will change his mind. That's what the word repent means. Who knows whether he will repent of the thing to come? We are so blind and so confused and so messed up that we can't even see in the spirit, and nor can we see in the spirit. Some of us can't even see in the natural how messed up things are and what the truth really is. We're so perverted by propaganda and all this other stuff. We better wake up before it's too late. People do things again and again and again and expect different results. That's insanity. Been there and done that. I'm talking about if the church doesn't get themselves together, repent and pray, it's all over. For everybody. That's how serious and that's how close it is. Who knows how it will turn it? We're all putting our confidence, we need to put our prayers toward things, but not our confidence and not our trust. You better put your trust in the name of the Lord your God and pray and turn and put God in control. It's reality and it's a fact, and nobody wants to face it, but you better face it. It's time to pray. And really pray like never before. And the prayer should be, God, there are crazy people all over the place. Keep somebody's hand off the bomb. Another couple years so we can preach your gospel. You've waken us up to let us know that our days are short and that there is an infinite end. We have the ability and we have the power today to shut down the world. To shut down the world. In a matter of moments, you can knock out countries. You can knock out worlds. You can set a bomb up that will close up everything. We have that ability. But we feel safe. And we feel secure. It's time to pray. And it's time to pray like never before. And I believe the only way that God will take away this threat, that God will stop this mess. God's not going to strive with men forever. The only way that God will prolong these days is if he sees the possibility of harvest. That's the only thing that will stop doomsday is a Holy Ghost harvest. You don't know what's out there. You don't know how things can switch around and turn around. One minute we fight in one nation, next minute we go into battle together. We're right next door to China. And we know they're just so happy with us. We've been getting along now for about 3 days. And you know, old Russia, our good old boy allies, they just can't wait for us to come right next door to them. We're going to put all of our troops right in there, Russia on one side, China on the other side. And we're going to be here singing songs and waving flags. It's time to pray and stop acting crazy and really pray. Not pray according to the flesh, but pray according to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost with an ear to God. This whole thing is wrapped up into the heart of God. This is how we need to pray. That's why you need to have people pray that got supernatural faith and pray this way. God, don't close this thing out. Somebody that's not deceived in thinking that we got some security just because of a geographical location that we live in. That's not in the Bible. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You better get real. You must be born again, saved. If he allowed his children, Israel, to go through all of these changes, and those were his chosen seed, and they went through the Holocaust, they were put in bondage again and again and again. Who do you think you are? It even says that. Listen, if it says it in the New Testament. Don't get too crazy. You better find out who you are. It's who you know that makes a difference. And I believe the only thing that's going to save this nation, the only thing that's going to save this nation, is Holy Ghost filled prayer. Amen. And repentance. Amen. I'm talking about real prayer. Amen. I'm not talking about just somebody getting up there saying a little. I'm talking about Holy Ghost people falling on their face and pray. Amen. We know you can't just write some speech, don't even say his name in it, and expect God to save us. Don't you say Jesus' name, you be in trouble. Form of godliness that denies the power thereof. It's time for revival. Amen. I believe the devil's called for war, but he didn't know what. See, well, we know where the real war is. Right. And the battle's the Lord. Listen, we're not going to be distracted by all this other stuff. Right. Our job is salvation and souls and righteousness. Amen. Yeah. That's what our job is. And it says, listen, if we turn, first of all, we got to realize what we have on the inside of us, then true revival will come. I believe that true revival will come to the nation's church as we get a revelation. What's so special about nation's church? I believe that God has destined this house for supernatural Holy Ghost revival. I believe that's the will of God. But we haven't come to a revelation that God is in the midst of Israel. Some say, God is there. God is in the house. And when we get a revelation, everything's going to be okay because God is there. God is speaking. There's a word of prophecy there. There's faith there. There's stability there. God is in it. Amen. See, we want to manifest. We want everybody else to see God in us when we can't see God in us ourselves. We want everybody else to have confidence in our ministries and in all of our other things. You better have confidence in it. Yeah. Amen. As soon as you get a revelation to where nobody else shows up, it'll be me and Jesus. That revelation, you want to see Joel chapter 28 manifest? You want to know how to manifest it? Get this mindset. This is the mindset of the believer. One, repentance. And you better tell the truth. You better tell the whole truth and stop getting on everybody's bandwagon. We got to use this time for this should be great harvest time. They're trying to turn it around. We just had another 4th of July. We should have had a revival. Everything, see, the revival won't happen. The Bible says, my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Can't pray in pride. You got to pray in humility. When we get a revelation of our responsibility, we must pray over this situation. And if we don't pray with a mindset, if you believe what everybody else believes and you don't understand how serious it really is, read something more than a newspaper. And I believe people refuse to talk about things because everybody's really afraid to look at it for what it really is. It will wake us up and cause us to do something and handle the situation a little bit differently than what we handled it before. We must pray that God holds back wrath. Lord, we're not done yet. I don't believe God will give us more days to live them like we've been living them. I believe someone said that things have actually changed and they will never be the same again. You are absolutely right. Things have really changed. They will never be the same again. If you want a new day, it's got to be God's day. Let's have repentance within the body of Christ and come out from the world, come out from all of this ungodliness, all of this wickedness, and people that decide not to walk by the principles of God. And once we have that, listen, God will deal with us, and then let's get on to the big harvest. We can expect a great endowment of the Holy Spirit's power. I don't believe we've experienced, definitely, someone said it's the, what happened in 1901 and happened in the early century. I don't agree with that thesis at all. Listen, we have not seen revival yet. How can we equate 1901 and even compare 1901 or the Azusa Street revival to what happened in the book of Acts? I believe that this next wave of the Holy Ghost, we're going to see book of Acts in manifestation. Amen. God's been talking about it, but now he's ready to show up.
Yes.
And as we put our heart together and we put our faith together, God will start to do it. We got a little bit deep tonight. We try to stay away from issues. But the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, it's all written. It's all written, but you got to be strong enough to speak the truth. And there are several things that God has destined. Nothing's out of control. God is in control. God is in control, and he's the one we need to be talking to. So if God is in control, what we need to do, somebody say, change and repent and get ready for a new day for their sake. For their sake. But if we don't preach a different message, I'm talking about preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified and raised again, amen, it won't come. But if we start to think about all that Jesus can do and all he wants to do and yield ourselves, glory to God. I just sense revival, Brother Jesse. Exchange doomsday for revival. I believe that's our question. Choose ye this day who you should serve, either God or the devil, either life or death. See, because sin has had its end. The wages of sin is death. Listen, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. I believe the wages of all sin, what we've had in layaway for years, is finally paid for. Everybody's been making deposits and making deposits and making deposits and making deposits, and now the band has showed up. And we need mercy. See, we've experienced grace. Grace is what we get when we get something that we don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us something we do deserve. And that's why it says, who knows whether he will have mercy. I looked at the Bible, saints. We deserve destruction. We all know that they over there deserve it. We all understand that. You know, we can all see those things. But I can't talk about over there. I got to talk about us and right here. Amen.
Yeah.
It's only by grace and mercy. Somebody say mercy. Oh, y'all don't want to really know the truth and what we're really called to talk about. Somebody say mercy.
Mercy.
God really pours his wrath out. See, we all, see, there are certain people you know are unrighteous and unholy. Those things are real clear. But when people are hypocrites and try to put off righteousness, that moves God's indignation. When people fake Christianity, in this big form of godliness, it is as godless and messed up as you can possibly imagine. That's when God always moves. And that's when God really, that's when his anger is always stirred up. He was stirred up before with the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees and all this other stuff. Our nation has become nothing but a big den of whitewashed sepulchers and Pharisees and snakes and vipers. They say, I'm a Christian. Don't nobody know God. If we had as many Christians that they said it was a Christian, this place would be a different place.
Amen.
The church wouldn't be on a decline.
Amen.
People saying, I'm a Christian. Only 2% of evangelical Christians in America tithe on a regular basis. And everybody's saying, I'm a Christian. Everybody's crying about, I'm a Christian. The most segregated time in America, okay, I'm talking about segregation. Whites go one place, blacks go another place, Mexicans go another. The most segregated time in America is Sunday morning when the churches meet. I'm not talking about when we go out to party. See, they can party together, amen, but churches can't meet together. And they're supposed to be the ones, they're supposed to be the saved ones. Come on, say, righteousness begins at home.
Yes.
It's time to preach the real gospel. We didn't went to San Francisco and preach for years. Jerry Falwell did a good job. Praise God. And everybody, we didn't preach in San Francisco. We didn't preach in every hood that you can possibly imagine. We didn't preach in Hollywood. We preached Hollywood, San Francisco, L.A., Vegas, and everywhere. But God said, now I'm going to preach at the White House. I'm going to preach at every capital. I'm preaching somebody's church. They expected Jesus to go down there to the harlots and all those stuff and preach these rough messages. Jesus walked into the temple and preached these rough messages. The roughest message that you'll ever see is when Jesus preached to Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites. And we wonder why we're losing generation after generation after generation. They tell you, hypocrites. We want to have revival, but we don't want to hear the word hypocrite. What needs to be revived other than something that thinks it's alive? That's dead. You can't revive dead people. People that were never alive. So don't expect revival. You can't revive people that were always dead. Revival means someone that was once living and dead and just don't know it's dead yet. Somebody say real revival. We all just wanted to laugh, but we didn't want God to mess with our stuff. When we want something, we want a Christian president. I want one that speaks in tongues. That way I know. But we can't get our faith on that dimension. And we can't get our faith on that level. You shall know their fruit. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. God bless America. He's going to bless it with revival. It's time to go to work. See, there are more than two armies out there. The army of the body of Christ, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to go and take over. We have got to take over. We have got to take over this nation. Why does the believer have to take over this nation? So that we would have authority and power to preach the gospel throughout all the world.
Yes. Amen.
I'm talking about non-compromising people, amen? People that don't want to preserve what we particularly call our little way of life. But I'm waiting for a president to get up there and say, hey, we want to start to sow into mission.
Amen.
You can vote them in and they can do whatever they want to. Somebody say it's possible. Glory to God. Somebody say cry out and take over and believe God for a better day. Harvest time. Jesus is ready to come back. The day of the Lord is definitely at hand. But I'd rather go out in victory. It'd be a shame to go out like this. God can do much more than this if we just let him. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we pray that you give us supernatural vision to stand and to speak your word, to speak and declare your truth, to prophesy without fear, but with supernatural boldness, to speak the word of life, to speak the word of God, and to bring about a supernatural change. Father God, we pray that true faith, but Christianity that has the power of God abiding on the inside of it, that it would manifest. Father God, we call for the latter and the former rain together. Amen.